can always tell, he says, how experienced and insightful a prospective consultant, banker, real estate agent, or lawyer is by the quality of their questions and how intently they listen. That's how simple it is. Welcome, everybody. My name is Connor Gilson, and this is my podcast. And I wanted to start it off that way because a lot of you are probably looking at the title of this, seeing those question marks and wondering if something glitched or had a problem. But no, tonight we're going to be talking about questions, about how important they are when we're talking to a prospect or a customer or client. But especially tonight, we're going to be talking about when we make that first interaction with a customer, with a lead, with a prospect, do we ask questions the right way? Do we ask questions that make people think? Do we ask questions that make us stand out as different? I feel a lot of the times we're always trying to figure out what the next step is or what we're going to say. In fact, that kind of trickles down into humans in all aspects of life. We see it happening in personal lives. We see it happening in relationships. We see it when we walk up to somebody we find attractive. It happens. We're always trying to plan the next step. And it's a normal thing, and in a lot of cases it's good. There's a reason why when you go to court for a very serious thing, there are, you know, practice sessions about or depositions about questions and things like that that kind of get you ready for what you're going to be saying or whatever. But questions are very powerful. In fact, I would say that good questions are more powerful than the answers you give. And so that's kind of interesting, right? Because we're always told that we want to listen, right? And it's funny to me, at least, because before I learned about all this weight and power that questions have, I understood that listening is better, which is harder for me because I like to talk a lot. I'm doing a podcast after all, so that is the definition of talking and not listening, because there is no comment section, there's nobody talking back, although I do feel like I definitely want to get people on this podcast pretty soon. Actually, I'm starting to line up people to get on the podcast, but as of right now, it's basically me talking and other people listening, or you guys listening. And it's interesting because when I learned that, I feel like a lot of the times when we get into a business or we get into a meeting with a prospect, we tend to be, usually we're the ones being asked the questions, which usually is not a good thing. And I'm going to show you that later about how one question that a lot of people, whenever you, especially if you're going into like a place that's pretty powerful, or you're talking to like CEOs of big companies, if you're talking to marketing managers of big companies, things like that, there's going to be two things. One, they're going to try to take control of the conversation. They're going to try to ask you questions. You're on the spot. You're at the audition. You're the one being vetted. And if you ask questions and take control, you may think that a lot of executives will take that as a power aggression or a power move and then try to combat back at you, but in most cases, no. And I've met with many, many either CEOs, vice presidents, and marketing managers of Fortune 500 companies. At the heyday of my, or at the biggest point of my company, like I said before, I've worked with some very, very familiar brands like Subaru and Pepsi and Ubisoft and things like that, big companies that I worked with. And when you sit in there, or when you do a video call on Skype or GoToMeeting or whatever, that's what's going to happen. They're going to try to take control, and they're not going to, if what they want you to do, which is interesting, what they want you to do is to take control. They want you to show that you have value, and one of the easiest non-combative ways to do that is asking good questions. And the reason why asking good questions is one of the best tactics to use is because as humans, we love talking about ourselves. We love talking in general, and when people listen, it helps. It massages our pride, it massages our ego, it makes us feel like that there's a connection, that people relate with us, you know, things like that. Because if somebody's talking to you and you constantly like trying to get away or trying to cut them off, stuff like that, it shows that you're not interested in that, or you view whatever you're about to say as more important. But when you ask questions and then listen, the power. So, like I said, good questions are way, way more powerful than answers. So, and that's kind of the flaw of, you know, somebody that's new to business, new to marketing, new to engaging customers is, and I fell for this as well. When I first met my first couple clients and things like that, and I did end up closing them because I was better at other things that helped me make sales, but I didn't learn this till later on. Thank God I was good at other things because this is one of the most important things, and I botched it. When people would ask me about my company, they would get pretty crazy broad answers. But before we jump into that, I'm going to pause me first meeting with, because there's a few things I want to talk about. If you look through history, you'll find people that are very, very good at questions. A few that I can think of, oh my God, why am I drawing a blank? Socrates and Jesus, okay? Whether you believe in the Bible, whether you believe in, you know, creation, whatever, you have to admit that Jesus asked pretty good questions. He asked questions that most times when people were getting, like, upset or trying to box him in, I loved it. I always loved reading his questions that he'd ask. When people would box him in and think that he had no way out, he'd ask a question that would just literally blow down like all the walls. People would just be like, because with what he did is when people were being aggressive and coming to, you know, trying to make a fool of him or whatever, he would ask questions that showed the heart condition or the motive of the questions the other person had just asked. And it was great. It was always amazing how he did that. And Socrates asked questions a lot of the times as well. He asked questions that to this day you can still find quotes. You can still find things that are very, very prevalent that most people know. And it's very interesting how to use questions and learning how to use questions can make you not seem, because that's the incorrect word, because it takes a very smart person to make good questions, but makes you display your intelligence in any given situation. Okay, the thing with me is, yeah, I have talents and I have special traits, and everybody has those. But I would literally put all of my talents and traits and skills aside and say that I don't have any of them or any of them. I am just passionately curious. I am always curious. Whether it's when I learn something, I go out and try it out. I see, like, whoa, is this going to work? What's this going to be? I constantly test my belief system, as we went over in the, you know, the mind module in the podcast. I constantly test other people around me to see what they are capable of as far as, you know, their goals, their motives, their things like that. I constantly test social standards. I constantly test crazy things. And it's fun. Recently, while playing poker, I went up from $60 to $320. I think I mentioned this in a podcast before. And I knew, based on psychology and the way the guy was holding himself through the whole game, that he had better cards than me. He did. I absolutely knew it. And I had ace-jack, and he turned out to have kings, pocket kings. And I went all in when he went all in. And the only reason, even though I knew the odds were astronomically against me, was I was curious to see if I was right. I was curious to see if he had good cards. And I knew, and the odds were incredibly low of me getting away with it. The odds are that he was going to win, and he ended up doing that. I ended up going bust, $320, gone like that, or 340, I forget what it was. I know it was 300 something. And I lost it because I'm curious. And obviously it's not that big of a, because I bought in for $60, so it's not that big of a deal. And it's just interesting. I'm just curious. I'm just curious about learning new things. I'm curious about, you know, different methods. When I would go through difficult times and I would overreact to them or let them consume me, I was curious to learn a way of getting better at that, to deal with it. I was curious about building my own business, and here I am. I got curious about driving for Uber because it seemed fun, and now I do that for fun and I make money doing it as well. I was really, really bad with like talking to women and dating and stuff like that, and I got curious and I started reading and learning from experts, and so much so that people made fun of me for it, and I got better because I'm crazy, crazy passionately curious about everything. And that's what makes things easy, when you're asking questions, because it's not $60 or $320 worth of risk, it's a question. You're asking something to learn. In fact, when I first started working at Best Buy, which for what they do in a retail standard, they are very, very, very good at educating their employees on all the different little ins and outs of the technology. There was so much stuff I learned working there. And when I first started, I would follow around other associates that were good. I'd follow them around. Didn't hurt my pride, didn't hurt my ego. I wanted to get good at this, and if I'm going to get good at this, I'm going to find the people that are the best, and I'm going to learn from them. So that's what I did. And a lot of them, technically on a grand scale of things, on like a sales and business thing, I had more wisdom as far as sales because I ran my own company and things like that than them. But in that playground, in that sales floor, they had more pinpoint knowledge and more expertise selling that. So that's what I learned. I didn't walk in and be like, oh, I'm a business owner, so I don't need any of your help. I learned from the best in the store. And one of the things that happens, Best Buy doesn't do commissions, but they do track numbers. They track, you know, how much you sell. And it was common courtesy that if two people worked on a sale, they would split it. When I would work alongside somebody, I would tell them, don't put my numbers on it. I literally actually got in like arguments where people wanted to put my numbers on. I'd be like, no, because I didn't do anything. I was just sitting there listening. I appreciate it, but I'm getting more of a return on investment by listening and watching you than you splitting this with me. And one, it made a lot of people like me because it wasn't this greedy number getting, you know, going after half the sale when I didn't do anything. And I also learned a lot, and I became very, very good at my job there. And I've done that in pretty much every aspect of my life. I have no problem asking questions. I have no problem asking, like, hey, why did you do this? Hey, you know, what do you think is the best way to achieve getting this amount? And I ask myself questions. That's the funny thing. I ask myself questions all the time when I am doing something, like, can this be done better? Can I do a different picture here in this ad, or a different way of doing this video, and will it get better, you know, clicks, better sales? Will it do that? I do that with everything. Asking questions, whether to people, asking yourself, or asking just kind of like why, what's going on, is going to help you. So going back to my first customers and things like that. One of the things that I would get asked a lot, and if you own your business, you get asked a lot. You get this You get asked this a lot as well, and that is, you know, tell us a bit about yourself. Okay, like tell us, you know, what you're all about. Thinking back of how naive and stupid I was, it's funny. In my opinion, in my head at that time, 18-year-old Connor, just forming his business, was, you know, a pretty much right-hand man to somebody that owned a pretty large company and helping him run his company, then joining my company, or building my company. When somebody asked me, tell me about yourself, I rattled. And I don't mean rattled like got scared or whatever. I rattled off everything and anything. Like, oh, I was 15 years old, or I left public school when I was 7 years old, finished high school at 15, got my diploma at 16 for high school. Then I started working for my friend's business. Then I built my own business. This at 18. This is what I'm doing now, blah, blah, blah. And I go on and on and on and on and on. And some people, you're impressed. You know, it's, you know, some people were impressed. I mean, I am 18 and I run my own business and I have employees and, you know, I pay for two different apartments at this time. Like, people are mildly impressed, but that's not going to get a sale. It shows that you are obviously good at what you're doing. And because I was young, I had that benefit. Whereas when you get older, you really don't, you know, get that much credit for, you know, owning a business or whatever. People are like, oh yeah, especially nowadays, like, oh yeah, everybody's doing that now. Yeah. But that's what I would do. And I would assume that I lost some sales because of that, because nobody wants to hear you rattle on for 15 minutes about everything you've done in your life and how you're amazing and stuff like that. Like, nobody wants to hear that. But then I learned to change. And that's what happens, right? Tell us a bit about yourself. There's a power move, right? Boom. I'm in charge. You're selling to me. And there's ways to get out of that. There's ways to turn it back towards you're the one in power. But let's kind of sit on a middle ground here. Let's focus on what, you know, kind of like pinpointing and targeting what they actually want to know versus just rattling off. Let's fix that right now. So what I would ask is, if somebody asked me, you know, what are you all about? Tell me about yourself. Tell me about your company. I would then ask them, what would you like to know about me or my company? Ooh, good question. Changes everything, huh? Because now, and it's, like I said, it's not a power question to like get control of it and then make them feel like they have to impress you to get from you or to work with you. It's a kind of level ground. And there's so much interesting thing is there's so much weight and power in that question on a way of showing them that you're interested in finding out what they want to know. There's two parts of this. One, you have that where you're showing interest in what they want to know, and you're showing them that you can use questions very well. Number two, it takes a scope that's really huge because, you know, tell me about yourself. I mean, there's a bunch of things I could tell you. I mean, I can tell you that I like fishing. I can tell you that when my grandfather died, I got a little like cactus thing that I water, and I like it. I can tell you that I used to street race. I can tell you that I formed a company at 18. I can tell you that I used to sell video games out of a locker when I was 11. Like, there's so much. I can tell you about every client I've ever had. I can tell you about, you know, the times that I've failed, things that I need to work on, my strengths, what my favorite color is, what my personality is. Like, I can tell you so much. But by asking, what do you want to learn, what do you want to know about me, or what interests you about my company, or things like that, it zeroes it in by such a large amount. It zeroes it in to what they want to know. Because by asking that question, it really kind of goes by. It's not a hard, like, hitting question. Like, it's not like they're going to have to think about it and stuff like that. Usually, they already want to, like, they're already planning on what they want to know. And when they ask you that broad question, there's a chance you're going to hit it. There's a chance you're going to hit it. It's like, I love comparing a lot of things to poker. It's like poker. You can go all in at the preflop before you know what cards are going to hit the table. Or you can wait a bit, maybe if you have good cards, you know, raise a little bit, but not go all in, and see as much of the board as possible. That's the difference between gambling and actually having skill. So the same thing like this. If somebody asks you that broad question and you start rattling off, you're gambling. You're gambling, and the currency is time. And if you're wasting their time spewing off stuff that you think is interesting but they don't care about, you're losing the sale. You're losing it. So if you ask, what do you want to learn about me, or what interests you about my company, or what do you want to know, things like that, you then all of a sudden zero it down so that you have much higher odds. Because they'll say, like, okay, like, you know, what can, like, we're... I had this situation happen recently with a client that I just closed. They asked me, you know, tell me about yourself, and I asked them, and they're like, well, you know, we've used TV ads and radio ads and billboards. We used to do phone books a long, long time ago. We started doing social media marketing. It wasn't really working for us, and we just want to know what we can do with social media and things like that. And that was good. I'm like, I get a lot more information. They want to know what I can do there. But then I asked them another question. I asked them, how were they using social media? And another blanket statement, oh, we're using, you know, like Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram. I'm like, okay. I'm like, let's zero in on Facebook for a second. Oh, no, because I asked them which one they spent the most on. They said Facebook, that's right. And I'm like, okay, let's zero in on Facebook for a moment. How were you running advertisement on Facebook? And they're like, oh, well, we set up our budget and whatever, and then when we post something, we just hit boost post. And I won't get into all the details around that because that's for another podcast episode. But boosting posts on Facebook is about the dumbest thing you could possibly do. Unless you're like a restaurant, but there's actually better options there as well. So I then was able to start pitching, or, you know, start explaining to them what they should do, things like that, give them little tidbits that if they didn't, you know, sign with me, then they could walk away and use themselves, which is no problem. I like to help people, and that's what I'm here for the most part. But in this case, they chose to move forward with it. So there you go. So it's all about asking the right questions. And that's how you take a sale. Because if I had just rattled off about my company, about, you know, what I do, things like that, it may have not ended the same way as it did. It probably wouldn't have, because I didn't show that I'm the consultant. I'm the one that asks the questions and helps people, and I need to know what I'm working with. I need to know the board. I need to know what's in play. I need to know what they're going for. So things like that, okay? I thought this was going to be a short podcast. I have so little notes. It's crazy. And it's just great. It's funny because, like, I haven't done a podcast episode in a while. I've been kind of spotty, which I am going to be getting better at. I've been kind of distracted and focused on other things. But I know I had somebody email me yesterday and tell me that they love the podcast and that when I don't post, they actually get sad. So I can't make people sad. You know, I'm trying to help people. But the interesting thing, one thing that I did put down here, when we ask a question and there's even a small bit of silence, we tend to ask it in a slightly different way, right? We can't resist filling that silence. And that is a novice rookie move, okay? When you ask a question, I do this all the time. When I ask a question, I'll just go silent. I have no problem with silence. I love it. Cuz it gives me in my personal period or my personal what would I call that? My personal element. I love silence. Because as silence is going on, whatever I've asked or whatever I've said is bouncing around in their head, and I get to watch the gears turn. I get to watch all the, because like I said, I've studied psychology and facial expression and body language and things like that. I get to watch all the signs, all the tells. Usually, if somebody's silent for a long time, I know the answer. I also use this when I price quote. I'll say the price and I'll shut up. I don't remember what book it was in. Don't remember which one, but I know it was by Alan Weiss, who's one of my favorite consultants. So if you are in a consultant agency or consulting business, check out his books. He is amazingly brilliant. His Facebook posts are a little bit whiny, kind of complainy, but as far as his books go, as far as his keynote speeches, stuff like that, they're amazing. But he said that when he was younger, he used to work for a consultant, and this guy that he'd work with, he would quote the price, and then he'd take his cigar and just stick it in his mouth and light it and start smoking it. And Alan, when he was younger, one time when they got into an elevator, said, "You know, man, that's really, really rude that you say the price and then you stick the cigar in your mouth and you start to smoke it." And the guy said, "The reason I do that is because after I quote the price, I have to put that in my mouth to stop me from laughing." So this consultant had so much value and offered so much value that people paid these prices, and they are crazy, by the way, paid these prices, but his mind would make him laugh because of how crazy the prices were. But in order to stop that, he'd smoke on the cigar to stop him from laughing or talking more. And that's what we do. That's what we tend to do. Whether it's a price or whether we ask a question, we'll say, you know, something like, let's see, popping off my top of my head. One I've seen many times while I've gone to, like, with my clients to meetings is they'll ask, be like, you know, what do you want out of this like agreement or this business plan or us or a partnership of us working together? And then there's a pause, silence, and then what do you want for return investment? And then usually another one, like 10-1, 20-1, 5-1, like what do you want? If you kind of cringed a little bit inside there when I did that, then it shows you. It shows you of how bad that really is. No one that's authoritative or in control asks a question and then constantly keeps rephrasing it and rephrasing it and rephrasing it. It shows weakness. It shows that you're nervous. So you ask a question. You sit back and listen. It's on them. The ball's in the court. Don't jump in there and try to grab the ball out of their hands. Like, it's like literally playing Foursquare. I don't know if any of you guys remember that game, but you stood in four squares and you would hit the ball back, and you would try to like get it outside, like bounce the square and then go out. But it would be like jumping, like hitting the ball and seeing that it wasn't going 100% perfectly, and then like as it hit the square, like reach in and try to control the ball again, which in that case would get you in trouble because you're not supposed to reach over the line and do that. So stop doing that when you ask questions. Don't hit the ball once it's on their side. It's up to them. Okay? So if you ask a question and there's silence, enjoy it. Smoke a cigar. Just kidding. Don't do that. Don't do that. But just stay quiet and listen and show them that you're passionately curious, passionately listening to them. Okay? So that's it. Once you make a pitch, once you give a price, once you ask a question, shut up. Just shut up. Simple as that. Next time you're in that situation, you can hear my voice saying that. Hopefully it'll push you through to do that. So kind of questions that kind of go around that are like the about like what you know, what do you want to know about us? Like what part of my background interests you? If somebody asks like, you know, where did you start? You can ask that. And things like what aspects of that situation that you explained would you like me to focus on? Oh, like, what if I start by describing a couple examples of clients that I had that were like you that we got results for? See that? And then if they ask a question, you answer it. Ask things like, does that answer your question? Is there anything else that you'd like me to talk about? Things like that. Okay? Use what do you think a lot. So if I'm asking somebody about Facebook, be like, I view that, you know, Facebook should be used this way, this way, this way, and this way. If you do this, blah, 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 what do you think? What do you think is going to ask or open up a kind of hole for them to explain to you if they've tried things that way? If somebody has tried, you know, Facebook ads in a very complex way besides the boost button, boom, there it comes out. If they've tried, you know, not so much, or they only did the boost post, or they didn't do video ads or things like that, and you explain all that to them, then it comes out, boom, there it is. Okay? So what do you think? And that's the thing. Ask as many questions as you possibly can. You hear about people that talk too much. I've never heard anyone be like, that person listens too much. Yep, it's just way too much. It's intense amounts. I don't even know what to do. Like, I just have to constantly keep talking. He asks me questions and wants to know about me and my business, and I don't like that. I don't know how to handle this amount of listening that's going on right now. Nope, never heard it. I've heard people, you're quiet, but you shouldn't be quiet in a business meeting. You should ask questions and then listen. You shouldn't be talking the entire time. It's not a keynote. It's not a webinar. It's not a podcast. It's not a YouTube video. Let them do the selling for the most part, okay? So when you ask a question, you ask the question and then you listen. You listen intently. I think it's the Quakers that call devout listening. Be a devout listener. You know what devout means? Let me actually look this up because I want to read, and I didn't put this in my notes, all right? I want to look at the definition of devout. Because I can explain it kind of off the top of my head. But I love reading off definitions. So having or showing deep religious feeling or commitment. Gotcha. Devout. Okay. Totally committed to a cause or belief. And then other words like it, dedicated, devoted, committed, loyal, faithful, genuine, firm, steadfast, unwavering, sincere, wholehearted, keen, enthusiastic, zealous, and passionate. Okay? Fervent. I love that word. Fervent. So devout. Be a devout listener. Be somebody that listens so much and so hard that you impress people. And that's the interesting thing. That's where we catch hard. And it's going to be hard for you to get over this part. When you are talking to somebody, you ask a question and you start listening to them, your head starts answering stuff. It starts thinking about what you're going to say next, what you're going to do, what you're going to point out. What are you going to, oh, I got this. That's what your brain does the entire time. It is literally one of the hardest things to master, just shutting that part of your brain up. And that's coming from me, who's been changing my mind and molding it and doing all this stuff almost my entire life. I started young because I was lucky to learn about this stuff very, very young. But I had a very, very hard time, and I still have a hard time doing it. I still have a ridiculously hard time doing it. I'll catch myself and be like, shut the heck up, Connor. Just shut up. Listen to him. Stop. Because here's the thing, here's the problem, especially when we're in a business meeting, we're sitting there and we ask a question, we listen, and we think that if there's a long pause after they answer the question, that we look stupid, that we look dumb, that we look like we don't know what we're doing, we look awkward, we look like we're not, you know, controlling the situation, we're not controlling the conversation, we don't know where we're going next, they threw us for a loop, what is it telling everybody in the room? Interesting thing is, if you watch movie characters that are known for being intense, they all do that. Somebody answers them, and there's a long pause. Very good one is, if you want to watch, is any of the James Bond movies, go and watch. Everything's very deliberate. Everything's very slow. Everything's very kind of deep, resonates, comes from his chest. When somebody says something to him, there's usually a pause. And it's funny because his eyes and facial expression are so different than the big pause that's going on. Eyes and facial expression are relaying information back and forth to the person he's looking at. But there's a pause. And that's what we get caught in. We get caught in that if we listen, and then we, once they're done talking, we process everything. That if we're processing, people are going to be like, what the heck's going on? So, I'll be helpful. This is what helped me. Like I said before, it might not help everyone. This is what helped me, though. Okay? And it helps in one way. What I do, or what I did when I was beginning, because now I can listen and then kind of speed up really quick and figure out what I'm going to say. What I would say in a business meeting is, if somebody says, like, another scenario. We use Google AdWords on our business account for our website. We're not really seeing that many, you know, clicks and visitors. We're spending a lot of money. This is what's going on. What I'll do is I'll let a little tiny bit of pause, be like, all right, so let me get this right. So you've been using Google AdWords. You haven't used Google SEO, but you're using Google AdWords. You're putting enough money into it, you know, whatever the amount they said. Like, let's say they're putting $5,000 in a month. You're spending $5,000 a month on Google AdWords. You're seeing traffic, you're seeing clicks and things like that, but you're not really getting what you want. You're not getting what you want. In that period of time of me reciting that, my mind has at least put together a few pieces of what I'm going to say next. So then there's a smooth transition. So use that. Use that if you're terrified of that awkward silence. I love silence. If I've gotten to the point now where I'll sit there and think it all over, I still use that, because by replying and saying what they've said, that's actually another sales technique to help build rapport and help them understand that you are listening, because it shows, it proves that you're listening. If you just rattle off your answer or what you're going to do, they can be like, okay, yeah, he gets the gist of it, but was he really, really listening? But by us constant, or by doing a kind of word-by-word breakdown, then, well, you know, it shows that we're listening, right? So try that. Okay. And I kind of hinted on this before. It may seem counterintuitive. It may. It does. I agree. But asking questions and then listening puts you in control of the conversation. Because you're choosing to do both of them. You're asking questions, you're choosing to ask questions, and then you're choosing to listen. And then you're choosing to, if you're going back to what I was just talking about, then you're choosing to recite back to them what they said. Then you're choosing on how to answer. You're in a lot of control there with that. Okay? You're in control because every question that you ask requires an answer. You're in the position of power. You really are. And that's the funny thing. Because when you ask questions and then listen, it's not a type of power that people sense. It's not, they might sense it on a subconscious level, but they're not like, oh, this guy's trying to manipulate me. He's trying to, this guy's trying to get me here. He's trying to ask me questions and figure out about me. You know, he's trying to understand the situation. I don't know if we're going to use this guy. I don't want him. Yeah, I don't like how he asks questions. It's kind of nosy. That's not how it works. They're going to say, like, oh, crap. He's actually asking questions that are making me think. I haven't thought about that. Or, oh, this, and, oh, he's reciting it back to me. He's telling me exactly what I said. Okay, so he's on the same page. We got this. And then, boom, whatever solution you talk about. And there's times where I don't really know the solution. Like, maybe it'd be good to do this. Maybe I'll good. Hey, you know, from what you're telling me, Facebook does seem like a really good idea, but so does LinkedIn. You know what I'm going to do is, I am going to, after this meeting, go home before I send the proposal, and I am going to do some research on what your competitors are doing, what are the top dogs in your field doing, kind of see what they're doing, and then kind of base it off of that. I have my ideas and my tools for either method, if they're using Facebook or LinkedIn more. Whichever one they're using more, I have methods that are going to put us above them. That's no problem. I just want to make sure that we have as many, many things in our favor as possible. So let me do some research and I'll send out a video to kind of go over this, recap this, show you what I found and what I learned, and then we'll take it from there. Then I'll send over the proposal and then boom, there we go. Whoa. I know, and if your pride and ego is insanely large and fragile, things like that scare you. I got it. I understand. I get it. But being an expert means you don't know every single thing at any given moment. An expert knows how to find the answer, knows how to find the info, the details, how to, and you better clap that up. Hit that clap button right there, because that's some good information. A expert knows how to find the answer, or tries, or knows how to try to find the answer. Because there's some answers that we are not going to go. There's so many things. If there are so many firsts, I had one customer or one prospect one time be like, well, you've never done this before, so why do you, think you can do that? I'm like, well, I never had formed a company before. When I formed one at 18 and everybody told me not to, then I was too young and I should go to college. I never designed a website before my first time and I did it. I never hired somebody before at age 18 and a half and I did it. I never played guitar before the first time I picked it up and just learned it myself. This is what I do. I am good at it. I love when people say that I can't do something because I've never done it before. I got ripped apart by a pit bull and almost died like so many times, and yet I still got through it. Didn't know how to do that. That was my first time in each of those situations, yet I'm still here. There you go. We sometimes get far too caught up in our ego or our pride. When I build business plans for people, I get as much help as I can get. I'll consult with another, with my close friend that, taught me and helped me. And this is years after he's taught me. I could very easily make business plans on my own, but I like getting as much information as possible. I'll look at your competitors, see what they're doing, and then just go from there. That's what you should be doing. But yeah, like I said, asking questions is not going to come off as manipulative or controlling. Good listeners are not only popular everywhere, but after a while they learn a thing or two. You do. when you listen, listen and learn, right? There it is. Simple as that. Don't even have to say anything more after that. That's pretty clear cut. There's a quote, I don't remember where, but I have it written down here. Many a man would rather you heard his story than granted his request. Isn't that right? Sometimes we're just, something bothers us, or we're in pain and we're upset, and we relate something to a friend, we relate something to them, and they listen to us, and maybe they can't help, maybe they can't make the situation go away, but by them just listening, oh my goodness, doesn't it feel like a weight lifted off your chest? Doesn't it feel amazing? Yeah. So here are a few things, because I want to finish up this podcast. I almost said webinar again. Still do that. Wonderful. Here's a few things when you're in a room with somebody that you can kind of start to help yourself. These are questions you're going to ask yourself, though, okay? We've already went some questions that you're going to ask in the beginning parts of a conversation that you can ask if somebody asks you certain things, okay? But here's something that I want you to go into every single meeting with a prospect, a client, things like that. You can even do this if you're on like a car dealership, the sales floor. You can do this. And I wrote these down. Does the buyer have a significant problem or opportunity that the solution addresses? No need. If there's no need, no sale. There's not. You can't sell to somebody if they don't have a need. Will not happen. You sell a house to somebody because they need to have a place to raise their family. They need to have a place to entertain people. And this is, I'm using need light, you know, loosely here. I mean, you don't need these things. Like you need food, water, things like that. But in our head, in what we want, we need, okay? If you like sports cars, or your friend bought a really cool street bike and you need to get one to go ride with him or go compete with him, you need to keep up with the Joneses, whatever, that is what, there's the need with anything, TVs, appliances, houses, cars, business solutions, consulting, all that stuff, okay? Next section, I'm glad I'm going to sleep soon. Does the buyer own the problem? The buyer must be able to take action. They must feel responsible for what's going on, and in an organization empowered by their leadership to deal with the problem, because no responsibility and ownership, no sale. I've had many clients where I will refuse to give them a proposal prospects. I will refuse to give them a proposal because they do this like nonchalant, like, yeah, we can make some more money, yeah, that would be good, you know, whatever, and they're just not in it. There's no responsibility, there's no ownership, like, no, this is where I need my company, I'm not doing this way, I need to do it like this. Okay, boom, there you go. 48 minutes. Wow, I really thought this was going to be a short podcast, but I guess not. Here comes the other one. And this kind of goes into the ownership thing too. Does the buyer have a healthy, dissatisfaction with current offerings or with the rate of their improvement? Because no dissatisfaction, no sale. So there we go. Maybe they're using your competitor. Maybe they're using someone else to get sales. Maybe they're using a different real estate. Maybe they're or a real estate agent. Maybe they're using a different lawyer. Maybe they're using, you know, whatever. Is there dissatisfaction? Is there dissatisfaction with either their solution or their current offering or procedure? Okay? Then, what you need to do next is once you get them to have that, if you get them to have a need, you get them to take responsibility and ownership of what's going on, and they have dissatisfaction of their current state, then you need to, no matter what, unless you know for a fact that you're absolutely the wrong person, which I have done at times, after that, you need to trust that you are the right person for the job. You need to. This has to be there. If it's not, you will fail. People know confidence. People know motivation. People know when somebody looks them in the eye and says, "Ho, no, I got this. You ready to make some money? You ready to get, you know, sales that to just keep coming and you have to stop. You have to turn off Facebook. You have to turn off Facebook marketing and stuff like that for like a couple days or weeks to like slow down to catch up," which I've had before. I've had clients, quite a few, had to stop marketing because they were getting too many people, too many requests, too many estimates. If they're a roofer, too many people coming into their restaurant. It's happened time and time again. That's what you need to have a belief. And the funny thing is, the first time I did it, I just believed. I just said, you know what? This is something I'm going to do. My results are way higher than I even thought, but I knew I was going to get them clients. I knew I was going to get them leads. And if you do not have that, so shaking my phone makes it clap. Okay, cool. So now I figured that out. But that's kind of weird. I can clap my own podcast. That's kind of stupid. Anyways, yeah, but if you don't have that confidence and you don't know that you are the right person for that job, it'll never work, okay? Because what you need to do next is then ask yourself, does the buyer trust that you are the best person for their job? Because if there's no trust, there's no sale. That is about it for tonight, guys. I want to thank you for listening to my podcast. Thank you for putting up with me and my irregular podcast schedule. I'm very sorry about that. I'm going to try to make this more of a priority. It's just hard. I do so much in a day, and I'm like maybe hanging out with people once a week now, and it's like I have friends now that I just, it's like a cycle now. It's like, and I'm meeting new people, and I'm like learning about other people, and other people learning about me, and it's like even my personal life is kind of getting, the only like me time I have is an hour and a half pretty much every night, where I watch World Series of Poker tournament that's going on right now. Actually, it's actually recording from 2017. I don't know what I'm talking about. There is one going on right now, but that's not the one I'm watching. But yeah, so there's all that. And it's just been being pushed out. Me going to the gym has been being pushed out too. I gotta figure something out. I need to start transitioning time for money to value to money, which is what I used to do. But because I'm kind of building my business up from the ground up because of things that have happened in the past with me losing cars and stuff like that, I need to kind of transition from one thing to the other. And that's what I'm going to work on. Because right now, time for money, it's good and I'm making money, but I'm not making as much as I want and I don't have the free time that I want to have. So, that is my business plan for right now, and I thought I just accidentally threw that in there, but hey, what you gonna do? Hopefully you like the podcast. I put a lot of work in tonight's episode. Put a lot of raw emotion and energy as well. But hopefully you guys liked it. If you like parts of it, because I do like when you guys do this, is if you hear a part and you like it, hit the applause button that's here on Anchor, and it just lets me know that you actually like that point or whatever. All right? So I will talk to you guys later. Have a good night, day, evening, morning, whatever. Adios and goodbye.